Luke chapter 4. Gospel of Luke chapter number 4. I really appreciate the moving of the Holy Ghost I can feel in this service this morning. I really appreciate Him touching our hearts this morning. And we could go a lot of places and fellowship with one another, but if His presence ain't there, I know what the Sunday school teacher, He's everywhere, I get that. But I'm talking about His manifested presence, where you can feel Him.
That's right.
I appreciate Him. Stand with me, if you will, Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. I'll begin reading in verse number 14. Luke chapter 4, verse number 14. The Bible says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. There went out a fame of Him through all the region round about. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When He had opened the book, He found a place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. He began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Father, I thank You for the portion of scripture You directed us to. I pray, God, that You'd enable us to handle that and do that, that You'd be pleased with. Speak to every heart in this place. I thank You for what You've already done. Now minister, Lord, to our hearts in this hour, and we'll glorify You for what's accomplished. For we ask these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. As I began to look at this text the other evening and pray about what the Lord would have us to preach here in this service this morning, the Lord began to burden my heart toward verse number 18. And I'm just want to be sensitive to Him and do what He'd have us to do this morning. By way of introduction, Jesus has just come through 40 days of the greatest trial that any man had ever went through, as He was tempted by Satan those 40 days. In those 40 days, no doubt the devil threw a lot at Him that He had to throw, just like He does me and you. But I realized the other day as I was studying this season of trial brought a sense of power and a sense of victory. For in verse number 14, when He comes through this trial, the Bible said that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Now I'm reminded that when Jesus was baptized over yonder in Jordan, that thank God that the Spirit ascended upon Him like a dove and rested upon Him. I personally believe that it abode on Him the whole rest of His ministry here on earth. And I believe that when He bowed His head and gave up the ghost, it wasn't until maybe around that time that Spirit pulled off of His natural being. And the reason I say that is Jesus said, I've got to go away, for if I don't go away, the Spirit will never come on you. Thank God. I appreciate the fact that the Lord knew something about the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And here in this text, I believe He's trying to teach us. I appreciate the simplicity
ethnicity. Thank God that the Lord specializes in story after story, time after time. He took the lofty truths of God and set them down on the bottom shelf to where the youngest child could get a hold of it. Thank God. When it comes to talking about the kingdom of God, he turned and he said, it's like a woman that made bread, or it's like a farmer that went out into the field to sow. He was trying to keep it so he could expound the astrologers and the professors of his day with what he knew, but he kept it simple. He kept it simple. Don't miss this. And the Bible says here that he comes through, thank God, this 40 days of temptation. After these 40 days in this, there's a lot of things we could glean from this. But the thing I glean from it, and I believe the Lord would have me to leave with you this morning, is that when you're going through that trial, be sensitive to God and keep your hands off of it. The Lord could have turned that stone into bread to meet his physical need. But he kept his hands off of it. For he did not come to do his own will, but rather the will of him that sent him. Ain't that right? So here we come, and we come to the end of his temptation. We come through this darkest period, I believe, in the Lord's, one of some of the darkest times in his earthly ministry outside of Calvary, when the flesh was hungry and the spirit was groaning within him and the devil was on his case. Anybody here ever feel like the devil's on your case? Don't miss this. And when the devil had ended, verse 13, the temptation, he departed from him for a season. I need to stop long enough to say that he won't stay gone long. Ain't that right? And he may depart from us for just a little while, but you can mark it down. He's coming back. And Jesus returned in power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Notice here that when he returns, there is a not only a fame, but there's a power resting upon him. Thank God for the preaching that we call that unction, by the way. Thank God for the unction that was on him, that power that was on him. Thank God. And it caused a fame. Then the Bible said he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. The Lord begins to teach them. Things is a little different about the lessons now. Hang on just a minute. I've got to taxi this thing down the runway before we can take it off. Amen. And the Bible says Jesus returned in the power, and then he taught them in the synagogues. And the Bible says in verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Not only does we find here in the text, Brother Stephen, think of how that we should go through temptations, how we should endure problems and the things that come about our way. But here in these verses, the Lord begins to teach us some things. And had we not had this text, we could have wondered what his customs were. But the Lord here, through Luke's writing, tells us exactly what those customs were. On the Sabbath day, he was in the synagogue. Don't miss this. Brother Bagwell, I believe it was, said this somewhere. I heard him preaching. He said, and this helped my heart. He said he was going to a church where they didn't agree with his doctrine. He was going to a church where many of the people did not like him. He was going to a church where many people did not respect him. Later on in the text, you'll find the Bible says that he did not many miracles there because a prophet's without honor save in his own country. So he's going to a church where he's not liked, where his doctrine and theirs are totally different. Don't miss this. But it did not give him excuse to stay at home. I don't know how it is in Kentucky, but in North Carolina where I'm at, a lot of people say, well, I don't agree with them down there at that church, and they'll just sit at home. Oh, God help us. They'll just stay at the house. But I would remind you that Jesus went to the synagogue as his custom was. Not only did he go to a church where they didn't like him and go to a church where he didn't believe like them, but he took part in the service. Most of us, if we go somewhere and if they do things a little different, y'all do things a little different in Kentucky than we do in North Carolina. But that's all right. That don't bother me a bit. I thank God I've learned that I'm going to worship God in spirit and in truth, and it don't matter who's around. Amen. I thank God. And that's the only way you can worship in spirit and in truth. Ain't that right? The true worshipers, he kind of read through it there in Sunday school. Those true worshipers, they shall come, and they're going to worship me in spirit and in truth. The Lord seeketh such that'll worship him. He's looking for somebody that'll worship. Now, I told my church here a few weeks ago, worship, a lot of times they this praise and outfit, y'all know what I'm talking about. You can do that all day long and never worship. You can do religious calisthenics all evening long and never worship. You can walk the backs of the pews. Down there in our country, they'll say, boy, he really preached this morning. He walked the backs of the pews. Well, I'm all for that if God's in it. But you know, you can do all that and God not be anywhere around. We used to go to a church where a lady, she'd stand up and shout on Sunday morning, but she's shacked up. Huh? So just because somebody has an emotional fit don't stir me too much. But when the Spirit of God gets to moving around, just cry. I thank God something down inside of me, it strikes a chord. I thank God down inside of my soul and something comes alive inside of me. I thank God. So the Lord here, there's some lessons I believe He's wanting us to learn about the house of God. He comes to the house of God and He's there and He's taking part of the service. Well, I just don't believe like them, preacher. They don't do things like we do, preacher. Oh my, I'm just going to tell you, the Lord's our example. Amen. Maybe we should follow Him. Amen. So here He is, and He taught in their synagogues, being glorified all. And He came to Nazareth, where He was brought up. And His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place wherein it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I thank God. I don't know about you, but I like that business right there when the Spirit of the Lord starts getting on people. Now, I know when He saved me, I'm sealed with the Holy Ghost. He's on the inside. Would y'all nod your head at me for over that? The Holy Ghost is on the inside. But every once in a while, He gets so big and things get to happen and He swells up and He starts showing up on the outside. Amen. I like it when He shows up on the outside. And He'll get to moving on my heart. Tears begin to run. And before I know it, one hand's already up and I'm done hollering amen and glory to God. Why? Why do you get so emotional, preacher? Because something bigger than me is on the inside. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. And I think that we forgot how big God is. Bear with me just a minute. I ain't going to be long this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. How long has it been, child of God, since the Spirit of the Lord's been upon you? I don't know how it is in Kentucky, but I know how it is in North Carolina. Seems like you some Sunday mornings, I just about give somebody $20 to say amen. People are drying up in this day. And we forgot what it is to worship. But if you ever have one of them well experiences where the Lord shows you the pile of sin that the sister was talking about and you see where God brought you from and then he shows you where He's taking you to, I thank God you get to rejoicing over your past where He's delivered you from and get to rejoice about where you're going and you'll forget about the problem you're in now. Ain't that right? Everybody here's got trouble. Ain't that right, Brother Bird? Everybody here's got problems. We can sit around and have a pity party about our problems, but I choose to look to my future. It looks grand when I look at it through the prism of this book. It's a wonderful place I'm going to. Amen. this past Saturday, a week ago now, yesterday, we went to the nursing home to visit a dear lady from our church. And she's been in the nursing home for months and unable to come to church, unable to get out and go. And the Lord burdened our hearts to go just try to encourage her there in the nursing home. And so I reserved a little room there in the nursing home. They call it the private dining room. And I reserved that. And the lady said, "What do you want this room for?" And I said, "A handful of us from the church just want to come over and get Sister Evelyn and bring her up into that little dining room and just sing and read the Word of God, just have a little fellowship." I don't know nothing about the lady that was talking to me on the phone, but she said, "That sounds wonderful." Hallelujah. And I thought, either she's a child of God and she likes what we're fixing to do, or she's just so impressed that somebody cares to come see somebody at the nursing home that she don't care what we're doing as long as we're trying to help somebody. Is anybody listening to me? So we got over there this past Saturday a week ago, and she got knew she. We called and told her we was coming, and she got up and put her Sunday dress on. And my wife and some of the ladies went down and switched her from that oxygen machine to that tank thing that on the back of that wheelchair, and brought her up there into that little dining room, and we pulled her up to the table. And just like the Spirit of God settled in here a few minutes ago, that same Spirit settled in that little dining room in that nursing home. And we rejoiced. And we wept together and cried together and prayed together and read the Scripture together. And some of the young uns sung her some songs. Had just a little service there. I had no idea that Friday morning I was going to get a call that she had fell and broken her hip a second time. And they said, "She's at the hospital. She's having surgery. Probably while I'm preaching, she's in the operating room. Such a precious old saint of God and so precious to our church. But you listen to me. You better not miss the opportunity to worship. Them old preachers used to say, we may never be assembled like this again. I sure wouldn't leave this place with anything in my heart that ought not be there." Every once in a while down there, our church, we'll have a fellowship service. And I tell them, some of you that's on this side that ain't shook hands with them folks over there in 6 months, you need to get up and go over yonder. Amen. And if you got an altar to give somebody over there, go ahead and get it right while you're over there, so it don't hinder the man of God when he gets up to preach. Say amen out there. And they'll just begin to fellowship and hug necks. And I tell them, "We're going to have a unity service." They like them a lot of times in these. They'll have a unity candle at a wedding. And you got to be careful not to blow that thing out. Because you can't light it twice. Say amen. But listen to me. Every once in a while, we just need to come together around the Spirit of God and the Word of God and just fellowship with one another. Just shake hands and say, "God bless you. I'm so glad to see you at the Lord's house today. I'm so glad to see you, sister. It's a blessing to see you down at the Lord's house. What a blessing to see a young man sitting on the..." Amen. Fellowship with one another. Amen. Hug one another's neck. Amen. Y'all believe that in Kentucky? Y'all believe that? I'm going to tell you, if you don't do that, the Spirit of God will never rest upon you. You got to have that Spirit of Christ in you, that desire to want to help somebody, to encourage somebody. And when you get to doing that and get the sin out of your life, God will rest upon you. The Spirit of the Lord God's upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Isaiah said, preach good tidings to the meek. He's quoting Isaiah, remember. He said, the Spirit's upon me. He's anointed me. Come up here, man, Brother Stephen. Come help me just a minute. That word anoint means to pour the oil down upon one. Like they did the... Remember David over there? The man of God came and anointed him with the horn of oil, and he went down upon... And the Scripture says over there in another place that they had anointed and it run down on his beard. Ain't that right? But I look this word anoint up. It means not only to pour on, but to rub on. You ain't getting it. if the Lord ever shows up down there where you're at in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your problems, in the midst of your temptation, and starts rubbing on you. Hallelujah. You know what he's doing? He's a petting on him. The Spirit of the Lord's anointed him. I thank God that he might preach the gospel. Thank you, brother. Amen. I love it when he gets to rubbing on me. Amen. I remember as a young boy, my daddy, I'd get close to him and he'd pat me on the head. Amen. You know what that's doing? That's without saying a word. I'm here, buddy. Sometimes he don't shout and send shooting stars. Sometimes he don't holler. Sometimes he just says, I'm here. Not only does his touch reassure us that he's there, but his touch in the midst of our problems, in the midst of our perplexity, in the midst of our sorrow, that touch lets us know it's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Thank God, ain't you glad he's in the business of touching people? Amen. Every once in a while, I'll get alone in my prayer place and say, Lord, I just need to feel your touch. I just need to feel you. Every once in a while, me and my wife, we've been married how long now? 24 years? I have to ask her because I'm forgetful. Amen. So we've been married 24 years. And sometimes in a married relationship, now don't you get sanctimonious on me like it don't happen at your place. Sometimes that love begins to get cold. Is that right? That love begins to get cold. And every once in a while she's sitting in the vehicle beside me, Sister Bird. She's there, but I don't really know whether she's there or not. Her eyes say, her body says she's there, but her eyes says she's somewhere else. And I'll say, hold my hand. And she'll say, huh? I said, hold my hand. I remember when we were dating, if you'd have saw us, it looked like one big person with two heads sticking up. I mean, I'd pick her up and we'd go on a date and she'd scoot just so close to me. Ain't that right? You know why? Because she wanted to be close to me. And it's the same way with the Lord. Some of us used to be close to Him. You could feel His presence. When you showed up at church, His fragrance was upon you. You ever seen somebody get out of the car with somebody and they walk in the room and you could smell her boyfriend or her husband's cologne on her clothes as she walks by? Same way with the lady. Huh? You can, that fragrance is there. Why? Because there's something there. He said, come back to that first love. Amen. Scooch up close to me. Let me reach over and hold your hand. Hallelujah. I thank God He's still holding my hand. Now, when I preach like this, a lot of the men folks look at me like, oh, you're just being an old mushy something. But thank God for those times. I'm glad He'll hold my hand on the way to work on a Monday morning. Every once in a while, my prayer time, I've got about a 15-minute drive, 20, depending on traffic. And a lot of times I guess them folks on the highway between Weaverville and Asheville, North Carolina, think I'm losing my mind. Because sometimes I get to pray and I'm spitting all over the windshield and the Lord will show up and I get to crying and carrying on. Amen. You ever have times like that with Him? Just when He pulls into the vehicle with you. Just scoots up close to you. And says, I told him, Brother Jerry, I don't know what I'm going to have to face the Lord today, Lord, but I know you're here with me.
That's right.
Amen. It's not only those times when you're going through the cancer center and the funeral homes and the emergency rooms that He holds your hand. I want Him to hold my hand when nothing's going on. I want that touch. Now here the Lord says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Yeah. Don't miss this. He was talking about those folks nobody wanted nothing to do with this morning Sunday school. That's exactly where I was at. As a little old boy coming up in a drunkard's home. But thank God, I'm glad one blessed morning as a 19-year-old boy, he got past all that mess and he come to where I was at and he took me in. Thank God. And I heard the gospel. They preached to me the gospel. Who did it come to? Those poor people. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Oh, I'm glad I got bankrupt one day. Hallelujah. You know why a whole lot of people don't ever get saved? They never realize they're bankrupt. I heard a preacher say this yesterday. I believe it was Brother Mitchell made this statement. He said, the reason folks can sit in a church service for years and years and years and never be affected, and they'll tell you I'm a sinner. They may even go far enough to tell you I'm a lost sinner. Because they know the verbiage. But he said, they really don't know what they are, because the mystery of the gospel is hid to the lost. And until God shines the light in where you're at and shows you how depraved you are, how vile you are, how ungodly you are, you'll never hunt. But if He ever shows you where you're at, you'll start hunting a rescue. That may not be Kentucky doctrine, but bless your heart, it's right. Amen. That morning I realized I was lost. They didn't have to sing 75 verses of Just As I Am. Thank God all I needed was a preacher to say, come. Amen. Thank God in that morning I got born again. Thank God the gospel's being preached to the poor. Amen. Don't miss this. Look at the next part of that verse. He sent me, He's anointed me, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. Isaiah says to bind up the brokenhearted. To pull the pieces back together. Have you ever had Him pull the pieces of your broken heart and life back together? Is anybody listening to me? Happy day in your life when you realize who it is that's pulling this piece and this piece and that piece together. And He pulls them together. He sent me to bind up the broken hearted. I think about those folks. Somebody this week will have to go to a cancer center. They'll sit on that table, and the doctor will come in, and they know bad news is coming, because when that doctor walks through the door, he'll hesitate before he looks them in the eye, because he knows the news that he's fixing to tell them is bad news. He'll struggle for just a moment in his human condition to be able to look them in the eye. Then finally, him or her will muster the courage and swallow it and say, I've got bad news to tell you. The cancer's back, or the cancer's here. And their whole life will be broken on pieces. Ain't that right? Somewhere this week, a car will collide with another car, or a bridge abutment or something, and somebody's going to get a phone call that their loved one has been taken out of their life. Yeah. And their whole world's going to be broken all to pieces. Shattered. Yeah. But I've got good news for those folks. He come to reach and get all those broken hearts and pull those pieces back together. Is anybody listening to me? You say, what do you know about it, preacher? I've experienced it time and time again when my heart was ripped out of me and I didn't know which way to go, Brother Stephen, and I thought that I was going under and my whole life was just crumbling in front of me, and God would reach and get all those pieces and start pulling them together. Sometimes the pieces were broken, and the heart and the life was broken because of circumstances beyond my control. Yeah. Sometimes my heart was broken because of something I did.
Yeah.
Ain't that right? Yeah. But nevertheless, no matter what the case, He said He sent me. God sent Jesus to pull those broken hearts together. Ain't that a blessing? To know that in your darkest hour, in your greatest trial, remember where Jesus just come from. He's just been tempted for 40 days. Don't miss this. He went through that. He went through those 40 days of temptation to get through that temptation to where He could help me and you. And you're going through what you're going through Because somebody down the road's going to need your help. I'm preaching my heart this morning. He sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Ain't that what we do when we preach salvation? We're preaching deliverance to the captives. You don't have to stay in sin. There is a way out. Come home. Oh, sinner, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. You don't have to stay out yonder. You don't have to die out yonder. There's a way home. Thank God. I'm glad the cross points the way home. This weekend in my home state, that hurricane is raging the coastline. And I don't know. I've not heard any news this morning. I don't know what's happened now in the night. But I thought last night as I pillowed my head about all those people that fled from that storm. Smart folk. Smart folk. But I thought about those lighthouses down yonder on the coastline. And some of them has been standing for hundreds of years. And they saw storm after storm after storm. And they're still standing. This week we will be privileged to be in meeting with some men of God who stood for years, and wave after wave of attack from the enemies come at them, and they're still standing. We'll be privileged to sit in a congregation with some older folks that have got gray in their hair and wisdom in their minds, and we'll sit beside them, and a lot of us won't even realize what we're sitting by, and we're sitting there beside that lighthouse. And we've become so accustomed to sitting beside that lighthouse in camp meetings that we don't even realize what we've got. But storm after storm has come, and it shook them to their core, but they're still standing. And storms are coming. According to Scripture, it's going to wax worse and worse. It's going to get worse. We say it all the time in our country. How can it get any worse? Only to wake up tomorrow morning and find it's worse than it was when we went to bed. Yeah. Ain't that right? Yeah. How can it get any worse? But it'll get worse. Yeah. But thank God for some whole lighthouses that are still standing. I don't know about you, but I think about the little church here. Storms come against it. Attacks. Persecutions. If I read right, Brother Bird, if we're not being persecuted, we're not doing much. So persecutions will come. But here you stand. I preached here when Brother Earl was here, and they was just a handful. And the storms come. Financial storms, problems, you name it, it come. And you stood. And the Lord's blessed you for standing. Look at the crowd now. And what can it be? What can it be if you just continue to stand, shining the light to these poor old sinners that are traveling up and down the road, that'll pull into this place and hear the gospel preached, get under old time conviction and come and get born again? What a privilege. Don't miss this. I'm done. He said he preached deliverance to the captives, the recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty, or to set at liberty them that are bruised. The recovering of sight to them that are blind. Jesus done that on several different occasions. He touched blind folks. I like that story where he, in the scriptures, where he spit in the clay. And then put that clay in that boy's eyes. Can you imagine having dirt put in your eye? I'd say that wasn't a pleasant experience, was it? And he put that clay in his eyes and said, go wash. Go do what the law requires. Because he was still under the law. And he come back. Saying. He said, I come to give sight to the blind. There may be somebody here this morning, and in your heart, You just don't see things like everybody else does. You just don't see the need to go to church all the time. Don't see the need for that old time preaching and carrying on. Don't see the need to get all emotional. The reason you don't see it is because there's something wrong with your eyes. If you ever get your eyes open, you'll see what we see. And you'll get excited too. Ain't that right? Isaiah was over there in chapter 6. The year the king had died, the year the king Uzziah died, they saw also the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up. It took God moving that king off the throne for Isaiah to see God. And when he saw him, it changed him forever. He said he come to recover the sight of the blind. Don't miss this. He come to give liberty to the bruised. Are you seeing a pattern here? He's interested in helping those that are brokenhearted. He's interested in helping those that can't see right. And then lastly, he says, I'm here. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He hath anointed me that I might give liberty to the bruised. Stand with me. I'm almost done. Those that were bruised. You get bruised from life. Is that right? Somebody said to me the other day on the job, said, you know what the biggest problem with life is? And I said, what's that? They said, the if in the middle. I thought, boy, that's a pretty good thought. If things would have went this way, things would have been different. If things would have went this way, it would have been different. But the biggest problem with life is if. And in life, we get bruised. We get battered about. Sometimes those bruises cause deep, deep soreness. You ever had a bruise, a real bad bruise? Somebody come up and start to touch you on it. And you say, well, wait a minute, buddy. Don't touch that. Please don't touch that. Ain't that right? Such pain. Such affliction. Delivered by blow. That's what that bruise is, ain't it? I remember when I was playing high school football. My freshman year. There was a boy, he had got hit by two different big boys at the same time. And from about here down to his ankle, it just turned black. It was so bruised. They later found out he had some issues, but his whole leg, and I remember sitting there in the locker room looking at his leg thinking, man, that's got to hurt. That's got to hurt bad. And I asked him one day, I said, is your leg pretty sore? He said, don't touch it. And sometimes things happen in church and in our Christian spiritual experiences that hurt us so deeply. And it's there. And we try to pretend it ain't there. But if you watch real close, you'll see that person giving a little bit. They're trying to tough it out. They're gritting their teeth. But you can tell something's there. Something's happened. I've seen husbands and wife come through the church doors on Sunday morning. Smile big. And try to act like nothing was wrong. But I've got good news for you if you're bruised this morning. He's come to rub in the ball. He not only wants to fix your broken heart, fix your blinded eyes, but he wants to fix that sore spot, that bruised spot. This is different than the way I normally preach. I'm just trying to mind the Lord this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He wants to help somebody this morning. Do you need help? Maybe hearing your heart's broken. Maybe hearing you're not seeing like you ought to see. Maybe hearing you girded it up this morning and you're not going to let anybody know. I've sat Sunday after Sunday behind the pulpit and watched folks walk out that should have come to an altar. Knowing they were hurting deeply and see him smile and tell everybody it's okay. And he's back out the door. And I'm sitting way up to think, if they just come to him, if they just come to him, he'd help them. I'm done preaching.